Now this is where the Gita-upadesam starts. In the beginning itself, Lord is giving the greatest of the truth, the essence of Vedanta, to Arjuna. By understanding and following of which, all sorts of grief, collectively known as samsara, is removed, and the complete fulfillment and the freedom known as moksha is achieved. In fact, if you analyze chapter 2, it contains fall into four key topics. I mean, the upadesam starting from verse 12 falls into four key topics. Vedanta is introduced in verses 12 to 25. Jnana Yogam in 26 to 30, Karma Yogam in 31 to 38, and finally the Lakshana of Jnani from 39 to 72. Of course, perhaps realizing that Arjuna is not capable of receiving such profound knowledge, the Lord is going to be compassionate and start from the basic knowledge, even to the extent of telling what to eat, what not to eat, etc. But these are the matters of other chapters to follow. But here, at the beginning, he gives the most profound truth. Now, one question may be worthy of your contemplation. You know, why in Jnana Yogam is introduced in this chapter before the Karma Yogam? I'm going to leave this for your discussion, your contemplation after this talk. Now let us focus on the last two words of this very first upadesa, verse 11, which provides a fantastic set of equations to model our problems and solutions. What is the last phrase? Pantitaka na anusoshanti. The wise never worries. So this is a statement that God is making. What does it imply? If wise never worries, it means ignorant or ajnani always worries. Jnani never worries, ajnani always worries. Is it not? So from this we can also infer ignorance is the cause of worry. Ajnanam shoka karanam. And equally, knowledge is jnanam, for jnanam is shoka nivarti karanam. But what sort of jnanam is implied in this? For this we seek Adi Shankara's definition of the word panditaha. He declares the word panda refers to Atmajnana, or the self-knowledge. Therefore, Panditaha is an Atmajnani. You know, even the Tamil, the word Pandaram refers to such esteemed personalities. Therefore, Atmajnanam as a sadhanam and Shoka Nivritti as the sadhyam is the essence of Gita. Bhagavad Gita is therefore concerned about solving our grief. This is the proof that we've set out to get. But how can ajnanam be shoka karanam, ignorance be the cause of worry? To prove this, let us start with what we already agreed. We agreed circumstances is shoka karanam. Or if you take a specific case of Arjuna, death is a shoka karanam. But on analysis, we can prove it. That's not the case. Why? We don't grieve for death of every person in the world. So therefore, death by itself cannot be a shoka karana. However, if the death occurs to someone to whom we are attached to, then there is shoka. is it not? So we can define or redefine our statement that attachment is the shoka karana, right? But what is attachment? Attachment is a sense of doership or the ownership. Doership means I do, the ahamkar. The ownership is mine, my house, my property, mama karma. Therefore, attachment is defined by the ahamkara and the mamakaras, I and my. So, to remove the attachment, we must remove this ahamkara and mahamkara, mamakara. But for that, we must understand, who am I? What am I? The moment you start questioning, going in this direction of contemplation, who am I? It takes you to a different plane of thinking. These relate to the self, the Atma. The knowledge thereby you gain is Atma Jnana. Therefore, only by the understanding of the self, one could remove the Ahankara and Mamakara from attachment. And if you don't have the understanding, which is Ajnanam, remains as the Shoka Karana. So thus we prove Ajnanam is the Shoka Karana, not the circumstances. Now the question is, can the Ajnanam be removed? Yes. According to Vedanta, all things that have beginning will end. A peculiar aspect of Ajnana is that although it is beginningless, you know, because you never know since when you are ignorant of a fact until the fact is revealed to you, is it not? It's always anadi, no beginning. But once the knowledge comes, the ignorance ends. By removing Ajnanam, what remains there is Ajnanam, which has no beginning, no end, anadi, anantam. That is Satyam. To show the Satyam is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. That is why Lord, in the verses 12 to 25, provides the nature of Atma. And what is not Atma was Anatma. You know, for this understanding and to appreciate the remaining chapters to its full potential, some understanding of Vedanta is necessary. That's not the purpose today, but I will give you a very brief intro to Vedanta to support our discussion. See, Vedanta deals with the root of everything. When I say everything, it's everything. It includes the worlds that's full of forms and names. It's called the Jagat. One who is experiencing the Jagat, namely the Jiva, and of course, an assumed cause of all this, a supreme power called Ishvara. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. If you learn all these three, we learn everything else, is it not? But for this discussion, let's just focus on ourselves, the Jiva. Vedanta considers that the Jiva is a mixture of two distinct principles, namely Atma and Anatma. Atma is a sentient, conscious principle, and the insentient is a material principle. Although these two are quite distinct, completely distinct, different, we don't realize and we mix them up. Atma is self-effulgent. It is a consciousness within us. It is also called the Chit. Chit is the Atma. Our body is Anatma. It is made up of three types of bodies or sariras. The sthula sarira is the physical body. It is made up of food, nourished by food, and end up as a food. Is it not? That's why it is also called annamaya kosha, made of food. The sukshma sariram is a subtle one. It includes the power of senses, called jnana indriyas, power of actions, the karma indriyas, and all faculties of mind, manas, chittam, buddhi, ahankar. This cannot be seen. It is also shown as a combination of our pranamaya kosham, manomaya kosham, and vijnanamaya kosham. The sukshma sarira, being very subtle, has got a very unique capability of reflection. Take for example, sound is a very subtle power. It reflects as an echo. So is light. These subtle energies cannot be seen or experienced without their reflective qualities. You know, for example, eyes do not see the light from the source. It can only see the reflection or the reflecting media. You know, the earth, we see sunlight because of the atmosphere. And other reflected bodies on the in the forms and the shapes. When you go to the deep space, we see darkness only. See, if a beam of light is just traveling through the space without reflecting off anything or hitting your eye, you won't be able to see. See, existence is known in experience only when there is a nama rupa. But existence is always there. You understand? Existence is known in experience only when there is a nama rupa. The sukshma sarira, which we just talked about, also reflects the atma, the eternal light within us, the chit. In Sanskrit, the word abhasha means reflection. So when you reflect the chit, the atma, the reflection is called chidabhasham. So the chidabhasham is what makes the sukshma sarira, subtle body, as if it has got knowledge. It shines like the mirror reflecting the sun. It's only the light of the chidabhasa enlivens the physical body also. When somebody dies, it means the chidabhasham, the subtle body, leaves the physical body. That's what we call the soul departed. The soul is a jiva. Atma doesn't go anywhere. Atma is everywhere, it doesn't go. But why is the jiva connects to this physical body or to these bodies? The reason or the cause of this binding is defined as the causal body. The causal body is not a body, it is basically the reason for this sthula sarira and the sukshma sarira to exist. And that is mainly due to our karma and ignorance. The karana sariram is therefore unknowable. It's like a seed in which the tree is unmanifest. When we are at sleep, we are basically with our karana sarira, with ignorance. Our subtle body is unmanifest. And when the sleep is finished, it comes back again. That's why sleep is called nitya pralayam. Annihilation happens every day. And after the annihilation of the mind, when we wake up again, we come back again. So during the time, the Karana Sarira sleeps. So he is in the Mahapralaya. When all the worlds and manifestations are dissolved, when that happens, the Karana Sariram remains unmanifest. When the new creation starts, everything in the Karana Sariram again manifests into names and forms. This cycle continues.
So liberation is knowing the cycle and being free of its bonds. You understand? The absolute liberation is just being the Atma, the one undeniable existence forever. This is the essence of Vedanta. With that understanding, we can now look at what the Lord is saying in verses 12 to 25.